many times have you been in a funeral and thought, why didn't we do this before our friend died? Why didn't we tell them these things? Well, people are now doing just that with living funerals or memorials. Remember the saying, go ahead, it's your funeral? Well, a living funeral really is. New York-based writer Mary Elizabeth Williams wants to do it if she gets the advance notice many terminally ill people do. She's written a book about her own brush with death and cancer. It's called A Series of Catastrophes and Miracles, A True Story of Love, Science, and Cancer. And her recent article in Salon was titled, Have Your Funeral Before You Die. Mary Elizabeth, this all started after your friend Jessica had a living funeral. What was it like?
It was amazing. As you point out, how many times do we go to a memorial and say, oh, she would have loved this? And if you feel that way, then you can start making these kinds of plans. My friend Jessica was an inspiration to me in so many ways. We met in a cancer support group, and our lives took different paths. I got better. She did not. But when she was approaching the end, she made a very conscious decision that she wanted to have a celebration of life party. And it was one of the most moving, profound, sad experiences of my life.
It sounds fascinating, but, you know, this idea that somebody is, you know, dying, most people can't accept that, especially if you are battling cancer. And you write about this, that it's, you know, it's cast as a battle that you must win. And having that acknowledgement that you are going to leave, some people can't go there.
Absolutely. As you point out, we use the words battling to describe illness. And when someone dies, we say they lost their battle. And if we are all in a battle against mortality, then we are all losers, right? Mm-hmm. When I was very, very sick, I was scared out of my mind and I wanted to live. But what I also know is that when we are approaching the end, if we can do it with as much dignity and compassion for the people who are not going with us— You know, I very clearly remember Jessica saying to me, it's going to hurt and it's going to be hard and then it's going to be okay. And that meant everything in the world to me.
Mm-hmm. But I can still hear people thinking, when you are that sick, that enormous amount of affection coming at you, it sort of requires the person who is dying to help other people grieve when they may barely be able to stand up.
There's no right way to die. Right? Many of us don't have the privilege of being able to face it with our full faculties and with full agency. From my own experience as a patient and as a caregiver and as someone who grieves, any time that you can do something for someone else in this world, it feels good. Even at your most vulnerable and fragile, you still have purpose. And if that purpose is to give comfort to the grieving, that is an incredible, incredible thing to do.
How did Jessica feel after having done it?
I know it was what she wanted. It was at the home of a Broadway composer, and we sat around the piano and sang Space Oddity. And I get chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, you're guaranteed if you have a living funeral, everyone does exactly what you want.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. It's wild. My friend Debbie, when she died, she unfortunately was another big factor for me was that her funeral did not go the way that she had wanted it to go. And there was someone who really kind of imposed his own will on it. I think when you're in the room, it's a lot harder to pull that kind of nonsense. You have to be a lot more accountable when the person's still alive.
Well, and you say you plan on doing this if you have the chance that Jessica had. You met in the cancer group, as you said, she with ovarian cancer, you with stage 4 melanoma. Just take a second to talk about that, because you write about you were sitting in a waiting room at Memorial Sloan Kettering doing some of your treatment when you read two words that changed your life, immune cells. You were eligible for a clinical trial, had two immunotherapy drugs. They positively and radically affected your treatment. And yet, I'm wondering if, you know, this is so much more present a thought for you than it might be for other people.
Yeah. I mean, I won the cancer lottery. Mm-hmm. Absolute, for sure. I was at the right hospital at the right time when a future Nobel Prize winner, Dr. James Allison, was heading up a clinical trial. And what it comes down to is science, genes, and luck and insurance. And I'm here, and I absolutely know that it's not because I was better or stronger or prayed harder than anybody else.
Having looked over your own cliff and really had to, you know, face your own mortality, and also seeing your friend Jessica, it sounds like gracefully and graciously have a living funeral, do you find yourself maybe daydreaming about yours, which is further off than it was? Do you find yourself thinking about what you'd like? What would you like?
I would love to have, like, photographs. I would love for there to be really good food, even if I myself would not be able to partake in it. Mm. I would definitely want there to be as much laughter and silliness as possible, because that is how I try to live my life.
That's writer Mary Elizabeth Williams. She writes for Salon, The New York Times, other publications, has also written a book, A Series of Catastrophes and Miracles, about her experiences with cancer. And she's been talking about living funerals, one that will take place before she goes. Mary Elizabeth, we hope it's way down the road and you have a blast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have a funeral folder, but a living funeral. We want listeners' thoughts. Have you been to one? Are you planning one? Weigh in, hereandnow.org.